With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Ruthie, Uni, Dad and Me. We've had a name change to reflect the change in the podcast. This is the fourth time we've done this introduction because I've not done it right yet. So hopefully this one will stick.
Ruthie, Uni, Dad and Me. That's our catchy new title to reflect the fact you're now at York University.
Yep. It's like just like when they brought back the spicy Monster Munch. On the packets it was all like new. It's so new, it's old, or something like that. It's just like that. So if you are tuning in for the first time, then I'm Ruth, or Ruthie, and I'm studying French and Spanish at the University of York. I'm in my first year. I'm in my sixth week, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I'm on a reading week at the moment, which essentially means I'm put off, procrastinate doing all the work that I've got to do.
Are you really procrastinating?
No. I am getting it done, but... Yeah. I also do procrastinate a bit, but I think that's
it's quite
symptomatic of being a
student.
What you're
doing, the grammar, Spanish grammar, French grammar.
It's hard, yeah.
Linguistics.
And this is my dad.
Yes, although I'm dad. I think they probably gathered that. Anyway, it's week, if you're following the podcast right the way through, it's week two in Love Island. How's it going? Because you did say last week.
Said it was a lot like Love Island. Mm. Not in the way that, like... everyone's in love with each other, just in the intensity of the relationships and whatever. But what I wanted to talk about was I went home for the first... So I've been at uni for just over 5 weeks now, but I went home for the first time, properly home, last weekend. So I stayed Friday and Saturday night, and it was very weird.
In what way was it weird?
It was just, like, so strange walking into this house that had been home... I've lived there basically my whole life. We moved into that house when I was like five or six or something. So it really is proper, like, classic childhood home. But it was just strange walking into it. Like, it didn't quite feel the same. It still felt like home, but not quite home. And it reminded me of, if you've seen the film Garden State with Zach Braff, it reminded me of that. There's these lines in it. So he says, you know that point in your life when you realise that the house that you grew up in isn't really your home anymore. All of a sudden, even though you have some place where you can put your stuff, that idea of home is gone. You'll see when you move out, it just sort of happens one day. One day and it's just gone, and you can never get it back. It's like when you get homesick for a place that doesn't even exist. I don't know, maybe it's like this rite of passage, you know. You don't have this feeling again until you create a new idea of home for yourself, for your kids, for the family you start. It's like a cycle or something. I miss the idea of it. Maybe that's all family really is, a group of people who miss the same imaginary place. And I'd watched that film and been like, oh yeah, that's such an interesting thought or whatever. But then when I did go back home, I did think, it is home still. And it's home because you're there and it's home because mum's there and whatever. But it's not home in the same kind of comforting, like a warm hug way that it was before. But then I also wouldn't say that uni is home.
You were in quite a hurry to get back to uni, though. You didn't want to sort of hang around.
No, because it feels strange. And it's also like, I don't want it to feel too comfortable and not want to go back or whatever. But I was excited to get back also to see everyone and stuff. Just, I think I was expecting to go home and feel at home, if that makes sense.
Well, I've deleted some of your episodes. This is why we're having to... because the idea of the podcast is that we don't just talk about your life at uni, but talk about us being empty nesters, sort of. And about the first week you were away, I thought, well, I'm going to have to admit it now. She's gone. So I did delete a few episodes of Scrubs to make a bit more space on the Skybox.
does the house feel different now I'm not in it? Or now no kids are in it?
It does feel different with, you know, as I say, 48 episodes of Scrubs deleted. Well, at the moment it doesn't, because we've got your brother while he waits to move into a flat, so it doesn't feel that much different. But we miss you, and when you went away straight away on the Sunday, basically I came back from London, then you went off.
Yeah.
I did think, oh, I wish you'd stayed around for another day or so.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's just something's, like, off when you're there. Maybe it's just because neither place feels like home, like, so you're not going back to... No.
But your little,
maybe Love once
Island,
you start
your little Love Island community at university, you wanted to get back there because you're partying on a regular basis.
I also want to get back because I was having a friend from home to stay on the Sunday night, which was also, you know, like clashing of like different lives or whatever. It was weird, but really fun. No, I was excited to get back and stuff, but I think that it'll be exciting to come back for Christmas where I'm back for a month.
Yeah, but then you won't want to go back to...
No, exactly. That's why I don't like staying that much. I think a lot of people have said that like the first term, you kind of have to hard it out because you won't want to come back if not.
On the subject of partying, I did notice that an interesting theme for one of your parties, as I presume this is your Halloween party.
It's not a theme.
You dressed
up as...
It's
just what we decided to dress up as.
So you dressed
up as... Halloween party.
You dressed up as Hugh Hefner of the Playboy Mansion, and your other friends dressed up as bunny girls.
Bunny girls. Playboy bunnies.
Yeah,
but it wasn't just the girls, it was the boys as well.
How does this play out in the Me Too era?
It's absolutely fine. This is such a ridiculous thing, Dad. Because what do you even mean?
Well, what I mean is, if I was to dress up as something that's... I mean, you can't get more politically incorrect than Hugh Hefner and the Playboy Mansion. And I would think it's a bit of fun. I would think...
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, I would think it's a bit of fun. But if myself and some other gammon old people, whatever you like to call
it... No, if you dressed up as Hugh Hefner and a bunch of your like old male friends dressed up as Playboy bunnies, that would still be hilarious. If you dressed up as Hugh Hefner and then employed a bunch of 20-year-old girls to dress up as Playboy bunnies, that would then be weird.
It does seem very selective to me. You know, you watch something on TV or an old song or something and says, "Oh, that's terrible."
What?
The snowflake community.
Because the whole point is that I'm not Hugh Hefner.
No,
I'm not at all. And the power dynamic in mine and my friend's relationship is not at all like that.
No, I realise all that. Obviously,
it's
you're
just
not doing,
silly.
Doing it for real. No, I'm quite happy with it. It surprised me. Put it that way. It surprised me that the snowflake generation would even be.
It's a Halloween costume. It's fancy dress.
Yeah, so where do you draw the line at fancy dress? Because,
well, I mean, obviously you wouldn't black up or anything, or like culturally appropriate like an indigenous population's culture.
No, and you, I mean,
but Hugh Hefner is not.
Hugh Hefner was very. I mean, if you look at
but dressing up as him for Halloween is not a bad thing.
No, but you wouldn't dress up as Jimmy Savile, for instance. You can buy those costumes.
People have.
People have.
No, but like, I don't think it would be amazing to dress up as Jimmy Savile. But I think you can dress up as Hugh Hefner and it not be the same as Jimmy Savile.
Be interesting to find out if we get any reaction. I mean, I'm fine with it, obviously.
I didn't get anyone say anything at the time.
What, you mean any of your friends say anything?
Yeah,
at the time?
I put a picture on Instagram, Ruth_Kellner,
I saw your picture on Instagram. It was very good. And I invite everybody to go and have a look at it. But
but not if you're weird.
But not if you're weird. So just check first, check that you're not weird. And as long as you're not weird, have a look at Ruth's picture on Instagram with you and a few of your friends that are dressed as bunny girls. And I'm not saying...
bunny girls?
That's what they call them, isn't it?
No, Playboy bunnies. Playboy girls or something.
I think they used to call them bunny
They
girls.
Didn't call them bunny girls.
I'm sure they did.
No. They can't have done. You know what we didn't do?
We didn't
start with a your crush.
No, I know. Well, that was up to you. You were going to do it and you've just forgotten.
Well...
Then we can start again if you want.
No, it's fine.
No.
We'll just as a small interlude between what we're going to talk about next, would you like to have some York crushes?
Yes.
Would you like to hear some? I've got two.
You've got two York crushes. We ought to explain again. York crush is the sort of local York University version of Tinder.
No.
No. It's like the thing in Metro newspaper.
It's like the thing on Craigslist, like Lonely Hearts. It's basically where you can send in someone's initials or send in someone you've seen that is pretty, yeah, and you write an anonymous confession of love. So this one is netball girls. Just netball girls in general. Why do they all have to be attractive? The game you play might be weird, but they definitely have game. Well, that was funny, because it was like, why is netball such a weird game?
Yes, netball, I've always described netball as basketball for people who can't take all the excitement of basketball. but they're not all attractive netball players.
Well,
they've,
well this but person they think, clearly
maybe they
seems
are
it is.
Yeah.
And then this is my other one that I liked. So this one has initials. So it's had the initials, and then it says, it's awkward timing and we can't do anything, but I really like you and you're all I think about. Please spend more time with me. So do you see how some of them are really, like, sweet like that, and others of them are just like, you're all fit.
And you're not giving the initials, presumably to avoid anybody who might be listening to this podcast to identify the people involved.
I mean, it's on Facebook, so they can see the... You can see the initials pretty easily. Yeah. It's on Facebook. Oh, I just didn't say it.
But people outside your university can't see it, can they?
Yeah. It's a public Facebook page. I'm pretty sure it's a public Facebook page anyway.
But you'd have to join the group or something.
It's not a group. Ah. It's just a page. Yeah, anyone can see it.
And next week, you'll bring us a couple of York rushes, which you'll put in the right position at the start of the podcast. Because then...
Calling me out.
Yeah.
No, they're going to go... Every week, they're going to go in a weird mid position.
Right.
Of my choosing.
Good. So what else is going on at York University?
Well, I'll tell you what else is going on. Talking about houses for next year, which you have to do unbelievably early. You barely settle in, you barely get unpacked, and then already people are talking about what houses they're going to live in for next year.
And presumably who you're going to live with.
Well, yeah, that's the bigger thing, isn't it? That is the house, isn't it?
Yeah.
The who you're going to live with or whatever, which is really difficult to do when you don't...
You do know
the people, but everything changes so quick. Like, there's people that you're not friends with at the beginning of the year that you then become really good friends with, and dynamics change really quickly because everyone's finding their feet, and you just be with the people that you happen to be with at the start, and then slowly you figure out who it is that you actually want to be friends with or whatever. And so we've started talking about all these houses and stuff and groups of people we might move in with. And it's all very difficult because you don't want to upset anyone and no one teaches you how to do it at all.
And presumably the size of the house and the cost of the rent would determine how many people would be in there. Mm. I mean, you might find a nice
house. We're looking
house.
At like a group of six.
Yeah, so you group of six. So you want a house with three or four bedrooms?
Well, six bedrooms.
Oh, so you're all going to have individual rooms? That'd be
I think
a big
so,
house.
Yeah. Yeah, but big student houses, that's what they're like.
Right.
Yeah, so, no one will want to share a room.
No.
Can't think.
So, but you're sharing a room at the moment.
Yeah, but I don't want to do it next year.
No.
So, I don't want to do this year, really, but it's fine, though.
Right. Yeah.
You quickly adapt and, like, get used to it, to be honest.
And you're friendly enough with...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
With my roommate and stuff. Yeah, no, it's fine, but still, like, be nicer to be in your own room. But it is hard, and then... You've got to then, but then there's like, once you have decided who you want to live with or whatever, there's the practicality of like, as we were sat in the library, I was like, oh, I'll just like look for houses. I just typed in like houses in York. So I was like, I don't even know where to begin. Yeah. And then they run all these like wellbeing workshops and...
Who runs wellbeing
workshops? So like the university will run like wellbeing workshops and like career workshops and writing skills and math skills or whatever. What I really want is someone to sit me in a room and tell me how to look for a house, like tell me what website to go on and stuff, and no one tells you.
No.
You've just got to kind of figure it out.
If you put student houses in York, I suspect that's a decent place to start.
It's really quite hard to find the websites there.
You surprise me.
No, it's really quite difficult. I mean, it's still quite early now, but then they do start to go really quick.
Yeah, because York is a difficult place, because York is...
It's not the worst. People in Durham have, like, already signed leases and stuff, because Durham's so small, but York is...
York is difficult. Well, it's because of the city itself. It's a historic city. It's a lot of old property. And because of planning, you know, planning restrictions.
Regulations.
There are loads of places where you can't build. So, you know, can't build new places. So it's a limited stock of housing, I would have thought, in York.
It's not infinite number of houses and stuff. And that means some people then have to go into like just the student-run ones and stuff.
I was going to say, do some people sometimes stay in sort of student accommodation?
Like barely anyone. Just people who really can't find anyone to live with or stuff might have to live in halls again, but you don't want to live in halls again.
And people are still taking the mickey out of your accent.
All the time.
Really?
People I barely know.
Yeah.
Straight in there. What did I say the other day? Nerds.
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 Yeah. And what happened?
Someone who speaks like this said notes.
Really?
Mm. Well, ridiculous, isn't it?
It is ridiculous, but they may be right. They may be helping you out by taking the mick.
What? Why?
I would hate it if your charming accent disappeared. But researchers at Yale University have found that
Do you want to hear a joke?
Go on then.
Where have you been for the last 5 years then? Do you want to hear a joke?
I'd love to hear a joke.
So there's a guy in a job interview, and the interviewer says, "So what have you been doing for the last 5 years?" And he says, "Well, I've been at Yale." And the interviewer says, "Oh, that's very impressive." And he says, "Yeah, I think I'm really right for the job."
Yes,
it's good, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is good. I've heard it before, but it's good. I've heard every joke before, but it's good to hear it again. It's an old one from years ago.
I'd never heard that before.
There you go. Researchers at Yale have found that interviewers make immediate assumptions about your socioeconomic status based on the pronunciation of a few words. Denied access to candidates' CVs, the researchers ask people to judge professional qualities, or in the words of your joke, judge professional qualities and social class from a candidate's voice and assign a starting salary. They found that if your accent was thought to be from a higher social class, you were judged more competent and more likely to get the job, and you're also likely to be offered a higher starting salary.
That makes perfect sense, but also, who wants to live in that world?
Well, precisely. You stick to your guns. But a lot of the newspaper coverage of this had the headline, "A plumbing accent helps you get the job," sort of thing. So it was saying, although this was American research, I didn't think that in America accents were as important, but apparently they really are. And also here. But
Because like a Southern American accent with like a drawl or like a Midwest accent and stuff.
Yeah. But the BBC, God bless them, employ, not just the BBC, but all the broadcasters now employ a range of regional accents, which
I think.
And so that does make it more accessible. I mean, for years I remember,
I do think you don't sound as smart like when you're meeting people, or that people are less likely to take you seriously.
Well, that's wrong. You've got an accent.
No, but I do feel that way.
Yeah, I'm not sure that applies. I was surprised.
I think it does when I've met people, or just that instantly you sound common.
Do you think so?
Yeah. When it's like, and also like,
I'm
not trying to change it, and I'm like happy to, you know, like, also,
are you happy of everybody's jokes at university?
I'm happy to do that, but it's also like a thing of, I don't really want to be friends with someone if they're going to decide who they're friends with based on whether they think they're working class or not. But I have had people being like, oh, you, like, where it's been like, wow, they think I'm like super working class, which is just not true at all. But it is the accent, and I think.
Do people sort of congratulate you on drawing yourself from
of just,
your
reaching myself out of the squalor of the north of England. I think it also is a thing of like, if you've got a Newcastle accent, it's more classless. Whereas kind of a Leeds accent, I think, is more linked to class, maybe, or something.
I would say you're probably right.
Yeah, or like a Scottish accent is kind of classless.
I think there's different accents for
like outside of Scotland, though.
Yeah.
I think
Scottish is classless, definitely. Scottish. All that Scottish.
Irish,
and
definitely
Irish.
Classless. Because that's why they love them for the like phone call centres and stuff.
Yeah, well, they love. See, different accents are different things. They love the Yorkshire accent if it's a financial institution like First Direct Bank and various. Well, that's why so many finance houses have moved up to Yorkshire because people, if they're telephone banking.
It's a trustworthy accent.
They think it's trustworthy. the Yorkshire accent.
It's You're not smart enough to screw someone over.
Well, possibly that. Whereas a Geordie accent is considered very good for comedians. You know.
Oh, really?
Well, there's lots of Geordie comedians. Ross Noble, Chris Ramsey, Sarah Millican.
Millican, arguable.
Yeah, well, that's the point. Because people speak with a Geordie accent, people assume they're funny. Mm.
Oh, it is true, Geordie, like, whatever.
Must be a good comedian. Whereas Leeds is a terrible accent for comedians.
I'm trying to think of a Leeds comedian.
Keith Lemon, I suppose.
Keith Lemon, yeah. Although, I don't think he's funny.
No, well, I don't think he's funny either.
But some people do love him.
But he is a classic Leeds accent.
True.
And then, you see, Northern accents are
It is a North of England thing as well.
Yeah. Well, Northern accents are very good for light entertainment. For instance, Paddy McGuinness. You once said he was a funny...
Wait, where's he from?
Lancashire.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so he's got the sort of classic Bolton, Lancashire accent, which seems to be better for that light entertainment thing than your beautiful classic Leeds accent.
Yeah, it is also, I don't think people have heard like a Leeds accent before that much. Like, you know, you hear a lot of like general Yorkshire, but Leeds is actually quite specific in terms of vowel noises. I don't mind it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for a bit of music. Should we start with mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the king of rock and roll, not Elvis, Chuck Berry. Are you familiar with Chuck Berry?
Yeah, he did that rock around the clock or something.
No, that was Bill Haley.
No. What's the song that he does?
Well, this is one that he does. It's called Maybelline.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the thing you used to do.
They were 1955, that one, by Chuck Berry, his first big hit. Had loads of other hits, and some of these you may know. Roll Over Beethoven, the Beatles did a version of that. The Beatles very influenced by Chuck Berry. Rock and Roll Music, another one that the Beatles covered at one stage. And Johnny B. Good, those are probably the best known ones.
Yeah, and I've heard Johnny B. Good.
I think you will, because some of those movies that you've watched sort of set in that era use Chuck Berry. Brilliant. And you... a fan? What do you think?
It's all right. I wouldn't like choose to listen to it, but if it came on, I wouldn't be like upset.
Right. Berry refined and developed rhythm and blues into the major elements that made rock and roll distinctive. So one of the absolute pioneers. And lots of references to cars, Coupe de Ville, Cadillacs and all that, because mid-50s America, cars were a huge thing. You know,
like Greece.
Well, like Greece, yeah, but proper.
Wait, Greece isn't real? I thought it was a documentary.
No, not a documentary, surprisingly.
Unbelievable.
Also, not just a rock and roller, Chuck Berry, also an armed robber. While still a high school student, he was convicted of armed robbery and was sent to a reformatory where he was held from 1944 to 1947.
That's a long time to be in prison, actually, isn't it?
It is. Well, armed robbery is a serious crime. After his release, Berry settled into married life and worked at an automobile assembly plant. Obviously, one of the reasons he was so obsessed with
cars.
Loves them. By early 1953, influenced by the guitar riffs and showmanship techniques of the blues musician T-Bone Walker, he started performing. And he used to do this thing on the stage called the duck walk, which was...
Sometimes you talk about the past and it just doesn't seem real.
Well, it is
real. It just sounds completely made up.
No, all these things happened. all these things happened. 1950s, of course, 50s America, the Eisenhower era. It was that's why people were singing about cars and soda fountains and all those things. It was all new and exciting. Yours, shall we just play it and then you can tell us all
yeah,
about
it's
it.
A song called "Dry Your Eyes" by The Streets.
Her eyes must have closed for what seems an eternity. When they open up, she's looking down at her feet.
Dry your eyes, mate. I know it's hard to take, but her mind has been made up. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Dry your eyes, mate. I know you want to make her see how much this pain hurts, but you've got to walk away now. It's over.
Excellent. Dry Your Eyes, Mate by...
It's just called Dry Your Eyes.
Is it not called Dry Your Eyes, Mate?
No, it's just called Dry Your Eyes.
I've been going around all these years calling it Dry Your Eyes, Mate.
Have you?
But that's sort of working class rock, you know.
No, right.
It is. It's
not rock at all.
Well, whatever, pop.
It's hip-hop, but it's grime, really. Like, it's The Streets. Yeah, it's hip-hop. Yeah.
So who is he, the guy?
So it's Mike Skinner of The Streets, who is...
He is the streets, Mike Skinner.
Streets, yeah, yeah, from Birmingham.
Is he from Birmingham?
From Birmingham.
So why is
Birmingham he... native.
All right.
And then he moved to...
So he sounds well Cockney.
Yeah, well, then he moved to London to the, like, grime scene and whatever. But he's, yeah, originally from Birmingham.
Hmm.
Birmingham. So and that's from
that's
his album...
That's not a Birmingham accent.
Birmingham. Birmingham. That is a Birmingham accent.
Well, it's close, but no cigar, I think.
What?
It's very hard
Birmingham?
To say. Yeah, it'll do.
I'm from Birmingham.
No, that really isn't a Birmingham accent.
So what's that then?
I don't know what it is. It's just you doing a stupid voice, really.
Oh, I thought I was spot on then. Right, well. Anyways, so that's from the album A Grand Don't Come For Free.
It's
released
been out
in 2004.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So basically, I just picked it because... I'd kind of not been listening. I'd not listened to anything new or anything that new that I thought, oh, I want to put that on. And so this is one of my favourite songs, like one of the songs I really like.
Mm.
And it's probably their like second most famous song, but I just, it's been really...
Why second? What's the most famous?
I would have probably thought it'd been, Has It Come To This, maybe?
No, I'd say that was their most famous song.
No.
Well, it's one that I've heard loads of times.
Fit But You Know It is probably more famous than that as well.
Oh, I like that, Fit But You Know It. But I think that Dry Your Eyes, Mate.
I would have just thought it would have been something from original pirate material that would have been their most famous, personally. But
well, we'll put it out to the public. If you do want to get in touch with us on any of these controversial issues, accents, Hugh Hefner, whether that's appropriate, and The Streets, whether Dry Your Eyes, Mate.
No, but I mean, I know it's like a bit basic and everyone's heard the song, whatever. But sometimes stuff is popular for a reason.
For a reason. And that is popular for a reason. It's very,
because it's very good.
It's
and,
a good tune.
It's very comforting to have. But if you do want to hear, if you do want to get in touch to tell me something, I don't know. If you do want to get in touch to tell me I was wrong to dress up as Hugh Hefner or right, then it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. I wasn't actually finished. I was waiting for you to say it again, and then I was going to say, and if you want to hear the songs in full...
You can do all that, don't worry. Which brings us, quite conveniently, to the emails this week, which pronunciation is a key issue.
Oh, is it?
It is. Darren Leithley has been in touch and says, being a multimedia crony, I saw the tweet about Ruth's southern acquaintances getting pronunciation cards for...
Oh, phonetic cards, yeah, yeah.
How to pronounce things. First, it's quite something to come up north and try telling folk how to talk, Reet. Secondly, I experienced similar at my university, Warwick. My rendition of, I am going to the shop, does anyone want anything... which is, I'm off to shop, do you want out? In not that broader Yorkshire accent, brackets tingly, he says, it caused much hilarity at Warwick University. What I never asked of them was, where is the second R in grass? Or indeed, where is the R in bath and class? One was studying English, so ought to have known. I'm in admiration for anyone learning languages to go from scratch to, I suppose, fluency in a year.
Not, no, I won't be fluent by the end of the year, but I'll be quite good by the end of the year, hopefully. Anyway, I say that, but we'll see.
We'll see. He says, a decade's haphazard learning of German, and I can just about hold together a conversation with my in-laws, who aren't even German. No, he's not said that. Another languages tale from university. One of my co-residents in halls was studying French. She was relating a blank moment she had in a seminar where she'd forgotten the word for the person at the front desk of a hotel. What, you mean the concierge? What? As in, what's the French for concierge? Anyway, it says, keep on podding. It's from Darren Leithley in Dublin. John Cairns. Who is in Ukraine. You remember he got in touch with us before.
Yes.
He said, my daughter Emily and I were well chuffed with having a name check on an award-nominated podcast. He says, possibly soon to be award-winning, but at the moment we are award-nominated.
Award-nominated.
Oldest daughter, Jessica, disappointed about not having the same. She wanted one as well. So now there you go. I just wanted to clarify the Kyiv spelling. K-Y-I-V and K-I-E-V.
Yeah.
Martin, you have to be congratulated on your pronunciation. Your Kyiv was perfect.
Kyiv,
like that. I know that you get a hard time from Ruth for your pronunciation of Kanye and other popular...
That was actually quite good then.
I was popular in the moment, people. Simply explain, the English translation of the Russian language is Kyiv, while the Ukrainian is Kyiv. Following the invasion of Crimea and eastern Ukraine by Russian-led forces in 2013, there was a lot of changes and anger directed towards Russia, which led to massive changes to the former Russian naming of streets and areas all over the country. These were all changed to more national-based foundations, the major one being Kyiv to Kyiv. Lee Scholes, so this is really about getting into a new... You know, we were talking two or three podcasts ago about your little wobble and not looking forward to going to university and all that sort of stuff. Well, he had a similar experience. He said, when I joined the fire service in West Yorkshire in 1978, also at the age of 18, you might find the contrast interesting between his initiation into the fire service and your initiation into university. He said, I turned up on the first day and was shocked to find that it was like being in the military. Stand to attention, don't walk, run, march everywhere. It was a 12-week course where you had to sleep in from Monday to Friday. We were in a dormitory for 24 people, all men in those days. I expected everyone would be my age, but it was a mix of 18 to 30-year-olds with an average age of 22 or 23. I was less than a year from leaving school and truly felt like a boy amongst men. You wouldn't like to suddenly go... There's such a difference between 18-year-old boys and men. He says, we had to go to stores to get our kit on the first day, which included fire kit, uniform, bedding and PT gear. This was all put in a huge cardboard box, which we had to then carry back to our dormitory. The bottom of my box fell through. It was raining and I had a terrible struggle getting it back to the dormitory, where I got a rollicking from my instructor for taking so long. There wasn't room in my dormitory for everyone, and I ended up in a separate room on my own in the first night, hardly perfect for bonding with my fellow recruits. He goes on to various traumatic things. He says, the first week was really hard and I wanted to pack it in every day, but I can honestly say by the end of the second week I had totally got used to what I was expected to do and the rest of the course wasn't a problem. My opinion is that if you stick at something and try to fit in, you will almost certainly succeed. I went on to complete 32 extremely happy years in the fire service.
There you go.
Well done. So it's been a bad week for the fire service, so it's nice of some good and positive news from that. And if you do want to get in touch with us,
It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
That's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Went out on Thursday for my birthday. It's always a little bit disappointing, I think, Halloween. Like, my birthday is Halloween and it's also...
And us coming out of Europe Day.
It was Brexit Day. My maintenance stuff was being taken out of my account. There was a lot going on, but also, you know how New Year's Eve is always that night that everyone puts really big expectations on, and that it's never that good. No. My birthday is a bit like that because it's Halloween.
The only way New Year's Eve sort of works out that good is if you run all the way to some huge banqueting suite. And then you see Meg Ryan there and you tell her that you want your...
Obviously. You know, like, if Harry... Sally Albright and Harry Burns?
Pretty sure.
Yeah?
I'll just check. I think it's Harry Burns.
Anyway, basically, Billy Crystal is not going to come and run into a ballroom, I doubt. And it's the same on Halloween. You're kind of expecting Billy Crystal the whole night, and he never turns up. And although it's really fun, it's just one of those nights. And I've preferred lots of other nights out more than Halloween. Also, don't you always find your birthday like a little bit sad?
Well, I do at my age.
Yeah, I mean, you do.
Sad at my age.
But did you when you were like 18, 19 as well, a little bit?
No, I'm trying to think.
It's only been these last 2 years where I've just been a bit like, oh,
I'm not a great birthday person.
Growing old a bit.
Even when I was 18, 19. It's always quite overwhelming
as well, I find.
See, when I was growing up, 18 wasn't a big birthday at all. 21 was the big birthday.
Right.
But I don't remember doing anything. I think I went out for a curry on my 21st birthday. I never was a big birthday guy. I could never see.
No, I don't.
And I always just get annoyed.
I don't love it.
No, me neither. I get annoyed with people who say, oh, it's my birthday week. And they sort of.
I mean, I do that, but.
Only a
little bit. No, of course not. But it's just, yeah, and everyone was so nice to me and stuff, and like wrote me like lovely cards, and my flatmates bought me a cake and all that kind of stuff, and it was lovely.
Oh, so you let it be known widely that it was your birthday.
Yeah, obviously. No, we've got a big like poster up in the kitchen. It's got the dates of everyone's birthdays on, so we can like celebrate them. It was a weird one because it was your first birthday, like being away from home and stuff and not waking up and seeing mum and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, Harry Burns.
Harry Burns is, isn't it? Yeah.
It is Harry Burns. Unless we're talking about Harry Burns, who's the Professor of Global Public Health at the University of Strathclyde. But I suspect he's not the guy we're talking about.
My best friend goes to Strathclyde.
Yep, I went to Strathclyde.
Went.
I was there for a year, Ruth. I was there. And who knows whether you're going to make it through at York.
I'm really enjoying the going out thing, so maybe I could just sack off the degree and then just...
Well, tell me about the degree.
Gosh, what is there to say? It's hard work.
But are you doing...
I'm doing the work.
Yeah.
I do the work that I'm set, but I need to go back over the other stuff.
What are you supposed to do, this reading? So does everybody...
This reading week we've been...
Does everybody at university get a reading week?
Literally the only people I've met who have reading weeks are the people on linguistics or languages.
Right.
Yeah, no one has a reading week. It's
so
really weird.
So they're expecting you to do something.
Yeah, I've been set work and stuff.
Yeah.
So the other day I had to write 200 words in Spanish, which is a lot considering how little Spanish I know. A lot.
And did you manage it? Okay.
I've written it.
Was it about anything?
It was about what Latin American country we'd like to visit and why. So I did Peru.
Why do you want to visit Peru?
I said I wanted to visit... The thing is, though, you've got a very basic grasp of the language. So it kind of sounds like a child's written it. And a lot of it is just like, I would like to visit Peru to see Machu Picchu. I would like to visit Peru because those are the only words you know. So it gets a bit tedious, really. I said to try the foods, to help learn my, to help improve my Spanish. But I couldn't say improve, so I had to say like, to help learn Spanish. Or maybe just to learn.
You had to do it without a dictionary and everything.
Well, no, you can use a dictionary and stuff, but there's no point like, looking up every single word, you know, or like having to put in full things into Google Translate because you're not learning anything then.
And Google Translate is just nonsense, isn't it?
No, not really.
Isn't it?
If you put in a full sentence into Google Translate, you shouldn't. But if you do put in a full sentence into Google Translate, most likely you'll get an accurate definition.
Because when you go on to...
The best thing to use is Reverso if you're learning a language.
Reverso,
yeah.
Oh, right. Well, that's a bit of a tip for us. But when I've been onto TripAdvisor and looked at a restaurant abroad, you know, wherever, and it's all the reviews are all written in that language, in Spanish or German or whatever. And I put it into Google Translate, and it comes back with gibberish.
No, not with paragraphs. So the best thing to do is like a sentence or a phrase. Yeah, it's not ideal. We have to do teamwork in my French as well. You get put into groups of three and you have to do this like weird dissertation thing, and my French teacher's quite intense. She's very French. Very, very French.
What do we mean exactly by very French?
She's just like, think of a French person.
Françoise Hardy.
No, not like think of it. No, just meant like in your head. No, she's just very French and like they're not, you know how English teachers be like, oh, good job, like, wow, yeah, like you're doing really well and stuff. If you're wrong about something, she'll just be like, you're wrong. Anyone else? Like,
she's stern
stern and straight to the point, but she's good, so I think it should be all right.
Does she look very French then? Does she look
one of them
elegant?
Looks really, really French.
Because
the other one doesn't look that French.
Elegant high heel shoes, etc.
No, not like that, but one of them does look really French. The other one looks kind of not French. Well.
When we're trying to define the generation gap, which is really the point of the podcast in many ways, and define what makes you a snowflake and what makes me a gammon, is, you know, in raw, you know, brutal terms, really.
Yeah, a boomer. Have you heard this about this week? Everyone's been using OK Boomer as like an insult.
Oh, boomer is an insult, because I was thinking of myself as a baby boomer.
All right, boomer. Right. Like if you say something that's like, I'm not going to argue that. OK boomer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think what divides us baby boomers or gammons or whatever you want to call us from snowflakes like yourself is the attitude to allergies. Grace Dent wrote an interesting piece. She's just realised that she's now moved from being Generation X to being uncle or auntie disgusting. She says, I believe allergies exist, yes, but like many people in their mid-40s, which she is, I just don't believe that quite so many people truly have them. And she says,
oh, I agree with that, though.
Here we have the generation gap writ large. Then she goes on to trans. So there's the allergies thing. And the other thing, as well as allergies, that sort of splits the generations is attitudes to transgender and all those various debates and, you know, the 100 new categories you have of genders and things. She says, suddenly we find ourselves both supportive of the battle for trans recognition, but struggling with the grammar. I noted last month, she didn't, I'm not alone in noting it, I noted it as well, that the singer Sam Smith would from now on be using the pronouns they and them. I'm happy for them. And I understand fully why they want that. Still, the very next time I read a news story about Sam that informs me they attended a party, my eyes spun round and round the paragraph, like Mr. Bean, looking for the other person with whom they attended the party.
But I think that's a really just void sort of argument, because you already use singular form of they, them all the time without even noticing it. So you'll, if you sat at a table and someone leaves their bag and you don't know whose it was, you'd be like, oh, was that bag theirs? That's the singular form of they, them. You use it all the time. Like if someone was called Joe and you didn't know whether they were a boy or a girl, you'd be like, oh, they're coming tonight. Like you use they, them as singular all the time without even noticing it. It's only when someone tells you that it would be polite to do it that people have a problem with it or people can't wrap their heads around it.
I think it's when it's written down.
You do it so naturally.
They're on tour. Oh, who's on tour? Sam Smith and who else?
But it's so easy just to do it. That's what I don't understand. That's what I'll never understand about this debate, is that, like, regardless of whether you understand it or not, it's so easy just to do it or to try and do it, get it wrong, and then be corrected. One last bit about uni that I wanted to tell you about is we're having our, like, college. So within the university, there's college. I go to, like, a collegiate system uni. And we're having our, like, college election things.
Oh, right.
For, like, there's, like, a wellbeing officer, a BAME officer, a like chair of the college, a secretary, a treasurer, like lots of different positions, and ones for like each block and stuff like that. And I can't believe we went by accident, to be honest. We were going to the bar last night and accidentally,
so
they were
they
doing their,
on the way to the bar, they'll be fine.
They were doing their speeches while we were in the bar, so we got like heard some of them. I can't believe the amazing amount of apathy it's met with. Literally no one cares. Yeah. The only people who care are the people who are like running and like some of their like friends or whatever, people around it.
But the people who are running, are they students?
Yeah, students. Yeah, yeah. Some first years, but mostly second or third years, I think. There's like a sports officer and those kind of things. And no one really seems to massively care a great deal, which is a worry with the general election coming up.
Mm. But you're going to vote locally in Wakefield, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. I've weighed it up.
You looked at it seriously.
To tactically vote.
Yeah.
My vote will be like worth more in Wakefield rather than York Outer. York Outer's massive.
Yeah. And we can't say who you're going to vote for.
No, because it's a secret.
It's a secret, and
that's
it's also
the whole idea.
But it's also the it's a pending period, so you can't. What I'm saying is there are election rules, and as a presenter, we have to think of you as a presenter.
Genuinely,
I'm thinking of you as a presenter.
You can't say it.
No, you can't. You can't say. I mean,
can I say who I'm going to vote for then?
After the election.
After the election. That's
after
it.
After the election, yeah. Because
I feel really professional.
Well, you see, because this will go out on talk radio as well as being on all your favourite podcast providers, etc. And because people love you as a presenter, that you would be
tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, you'd be unfairly influenced in the election. So don't say who you don't vote for.
Whatever party could get tens of votes from this.
Yeah. Well, it could, you know, you occasionally find
could
an election.
Could swear the balance, yeah.
You could swear the balance. So don't say who you're going to vote for. And also don't say who you're going to vote for as the well-being officer, because that could swear the whole vote.
Well, so quite a lot of the positions, there's only one person. Right. Of course I'll vote for them. I'll look at their little manifestos and whatnot. I don't know. It's another one of those things where you think that university is going to be this incredibly, like, everyone's so passionate about everything or whatever, but really people just like going out a lot. I think, at least in the first year.
Do you have a meme for us?
Of course I do. This is a tweet that someone did, but it's, you know, it's funny. friendly reminder that planet Earth is a dense molten core encased in a layer of solids, and therefore is technically speaking a ravioli. So, Dad,
yes?
That is all I've got to tell you from this week.
Good.
And I'll see you next week, I guess.
Well, I guess you will. And just a reminder, if you do want to get in touch with us, because often the emails are about the most interesting part of the podcast, do get in touch with us.
Some would question whether they should just write an email, just read it to themselves and sack off the podcast entirely. But no, we will be back next week with lots more university stories, I hope. And if you do want to get in touch, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. All lowercase, all one word. And while you're on the internet, if you go onto Spotify, you can find the playlist with this week's songs in full and all the others from all the other weeks that we've been doing the song by typing Ruthie, Me and My Dad, or just Martin and Ruth.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.